But great job there by number 24, Ashton Miller-Melanson, with the wrap, and Van Wishart putting an exclamation point on that one. Second and 8 coming up from just past the midfield mark. Laurier understands the objective. They need to get it done this year. Take advantage of a once-in-a-decade type talent like a Taylor Elgersma and a maybe once-in-a-generation connection like Elgersma to Ethan Jordan. You got to make it count. Second and long. Elgersma under pressure, but he avoids it. And that is, oh, Ethan Jordan lets that one slip through his hands. A game-ending touchdown goes through the arms of Ethan Jordan and hits the turf. The Gales getting lucky there. That would have been the icing on the cake. Instead, Laurier will have to punt this one away. Gales are going to have to capitalize on that rare mistake from Ethan Jordan. Let that one slip right between the wickets. Ian St. Arnaud is going to have to get this one out of the end zone first and foremost. And he will. Won't generate much beyond that. But he does avoid letting Laurier tally the rouge. 26-12 for the Golden Hawks in this OUA semifinal contest. We're, of course, keeping an eye out on other scores, especially the other OUA game, which is a 2019 Western lead over the Guelph Griffins. Wouldn't that be something? Guelph and Laurier are the only two teams to beat Western over the last 5 years. Could Guelph make it happen again? Queens, meanwhile, fighting for their playoff lives, down by 2 touchdowns. Anthony Leo dropping back, stepping up. Oh, it's just been that kind of day. It was the right read, but that ball is deflected. 2nd and 10, as the Queens offense have really struggled throughout the playoffs to put up points. It's been all 2nd and longs. Last week against Windsor, they did not perform very well on first down, and they set themselves up with a whole lot of work to do. And certainly for the last quarter and a half, that has been the case here. 2nd and 10 from around the 20. Leo completes that one to Macamillo. Macamillo does have some space. He will pick up a first down and go out of bounds just past the 38-yard line. Big first down there for Macamillo, who has been relatively quiet today. Did have the one grab earlier, but that was his first play of major consequence there. Good job, Anthony Leo, connecting with Macamillo. A huge play. If the Gales can get some points here, they're back in this ball game. But they can't keep ceding ground to this excellent Golden Hawk team. Play action pass. And another completion, this one to Logan Walton. Tackled just shy of the 50-yard line. Another first down there for the Gales. I will admit, the play action is maybe a little strange given they've only run the ball 4 times. And that's the thing. To really convince the defense it's going to be a handoff, you usually have to establish that precedent. Sure, you can do it over the course of the season, but especially in the ball game, they have to believe you are going to hand it off. And so far, the Gales have barely run the football. Kind of an uncharacteristically pass-heavy game. And we'll see another pass here. That's a good one from Leo. That is complete to Nico Cuomo. Cuomo does get swallowed up, though. However, that is going to be close to first down distance, catching that one at the Laurier 50. Here we go. This Queens offense starting to percolate here. Coffee's on, baby. Coffee's on. Let's see if they can continue to rack up yards and first downs. 1st and 10, they are on the Laurier side of the field. After a bit of a slow start to this drive, Anthony Leo and company are starting to make something happen. It'll be 1st and 10 from the Laurier 50. Leo drops back, slings this one left. He is looking for Logan Walton, and Logan Walton, oh, great coverage. He couldn't quite haul it in. It was a very, very catchable ball. It hit Walton in the hands, the chest, and then fell to the turf. Not a drop, just a well-defended pass, but still 50-50 ball. And that's the, statistically speaking, that's been the tough thing today, is the Gales have had a couple 50-50 balls, and none of them have gone their way as of yet. Law of averages being what it is, perhaps they'll get a big one here. Leo dropping back, second and 10 from the 50. He completes this one to Matt Camillo, and Matt Camillo fighting forward. He's going to be short of the first down, but that was a great second effort from Matt Camillo there. Huge, huge play. And you got to go for it if you're the Gales. You got to go for it. You can't be conservative. You're already down by two scores. If you don't convert this anyways, the game is probably going to fall out of reach. If you do convert it, you keep the dream alive. Third and two. Oh, boy. Biggest play of the season thus far. Third and two from about the Laurier 42. Leo drops back, and that is an incompletion. Just overthrew his man, unfortunately. But you know what? It's the right call. It's the right call. You got to go for it. You can't be conservative. You're already losing. Yeah, just put a little too much on that one. And a promising drive results in a three and out. Turnover on downs there. Laurier looking to put this game to bed. One more touchdown ought to do it. They were just inches away from it. Ethan Jordan missing one earlier. Taylor Algersma completes that one, and that is going to be a first down for the Golden Hawks. In semifinal Saturday, all the conference semifinal games being played today, obviously massive ramifications for conference championships. We know Laval will be playing in the Dunsmore Cup. It looks like Bishops will be playing for the AUS title. And the rest is still TBD. Hand off there on first down to Tyshawn Jackson. And Tyshawn Jackson will pick up a good gain on the left-hand side. Second and very manageable for the Golden Hawks. That Guelph Western game, that's going to be a fascinating finish. 1-point game as of the last update on usports.ca. Never mind, it is a 27-19 Western lead. Guelph trying to shock the world in much the same manner the Gales are looking to. The 3 and 5 seeds respectively playing 1 and 2. Second and 6 for Laurier. Algersma has got time, but that pass is going to fall incomplete. So here we go. The Queens defense manages to hold Keegan Vanek, the consequential player for the Gales on that one. Darian Newell, though, on that play. My goodness, he got a great rush in, manhandling two Golden Hawk offensive linemen. Okay, the Queens defense, they've recovered. They had a really poor end to the second quarter. That touchdown by Laomi. Oh, we've got a fake. Oh, no. It is a punt. Something, sorry about that, folks. The camera angle I had was pretty terrible, so I can't really tell you what happened. It looked like we had a fake punt. But it did not result in a Golden Hawk first down. That's the thing. Unfortunately, the Laurier Stadium is under construction, so when I ask if they have space for media, they say no. Which goes to show you, you know, Queens, they put that time and investment in. The new Richardson Stadium is immense, beautiful, and always able to accommodate requests. We appreciate it greatly. Step your game up, everybody else. No, I kid. It is a beautiful field. It's under construction. Once it is complete, it's going to be a stunning football venue, and they'll have a great team to play host to it. It'll be first and 10 for the Gales inside their 25. 6.5 minutes to go here in our third quarter of action. Let's throw it to Black Dog again. Black Dog Tavern at 69 Brock Street is Kingston's friendly neighborhood brasserie, serving brunch on weekends and open daily for lunch and dinner. Kick back and relax inside or on the courtyard patio with excellent food, beautifully crafted drinks, and good company. You can even make a reservation or place an order for pickup or delivery. It's going to be on a night like tonight, not the best idea to head out to the courtyard. However, the summer, oh, beautiful spot. You can't ask for better ambiance than that. Tonight, maybe stick to inside. A little chilly here in the Limestone City. First and 10, Anthony Leo completing to Matt Camillo for a short gain on the left-hand side, tackled up pretty much immediately, but setting up at least second and a little more manageable for the Gaels. 6 minutes to go here in our third quarter of action. Queens is in that do-or-die type situation, trailing by 14. And I've never seen a team like these Queens Gaels, man. Overcoming so much injury and adversity just to get here, and then experiencing a great deal of both to start things off. Second and three, Anthony Leo holds on to that one, completes it to Nathan Falcone, and I think with forward progress, he should have enough. But he was swallowed up by a sea of purple there. The game started literally the first punt of the game. Oh, and a roughing the passer call on the Lancers as well, or on the Golden Hawks as well. The first punt of the game resulted in a pretty catastrophic injury for Raheem Balogun Jr., the former All-Canadian punt return and punt coverage guy. An outstanding player and an even better human being. We wish him and his family nothing but the best. We're hoping it will be a full and speedy recovery. The injury itself was quite grim, folks. And we also saw Ashton Watson go down with what appeared to be perhaps maybe a concussion. Once again, we're hoping that it's a speedy and full recovery for both young men. Football's a great game, but it's not bigger than life. And we're hoping both of them are back at it soon. Isaiah Adams, great carry there on first down, slicing through the middle of this Golden Hawk defense. Gain of about 6 or 7 there, just shy of midfield. The Queens offense, unfortunately, they had a promising drive end with a turnover last time out. And it's been a while since they've put points on the board. And when you play an offense as good as the Golden Hawks, you need to try and keep pace. Another Laurier score would likely put this game to bed. A Queens touchdown changes the calculus. Second and 4 from just shy of midfield. Leo with a quick completion to Nathan Falcone, and Falcone will fight for first down yardage going down at the 55. The Queens drive stays alive. This is kind of the inverse of what happened last time these two teams played, where the offense was, whew, they were Gordon Ramsay, man. They were cooking. And the defense struggled. Today, the defense has done a really good job, by and large, containing this explosive offense. But the Gaels' passing game just hasn't quite been where it was. But we are seeing some flashes of life here with 4 minutes to go in our third quarter of action. Conference semifinal Saturday. Oh, it's actually 3rd and 1? Oh, I thought Falcone had that. Never mind. Another drive over. With an incompletion, I thought for the life of me Falcone had enough for that first down, but it was a 3rd and 1 that ended with a quick incompletion, so Laurier gets the ball back at exactly midfield, and this Queens defense must once again try and keep their dwindling playoff hopes alive. We'll see what they can do here. Immense pressure being placed on them by this outstanding Laurier offense. The Gaels, they're playing with house money. But it looks like that money has just about run out. They need a turnover. They started the game with a forced fumble of Taylor Elgersma, and they need a turnover here desperately. Right now, it's a tied turnover battle. And when you're the underdog, you're coming on the road. Last week was the exception, not the rule. Usually you need to win that turnover battle if you want a shot at taking home the upset. Last week, not so much the case, but that was kind of a unique situation. Windsor also doesn't have an offense nearly as powerful as this Laurier one, especially once they lost their starting quarterback. Queens defense here, they realize a touchdown will end this game and end this season. A stop will breathe new life into a unit that has had to overcome so much thus far. Handoff on first, and it is absolutely swallowed up. And that's the big man, Andrew Mullins-Grant, in what could be his final game as a Gale. He is the first on the scene to wrap up tiny Tyshawn Jackson, who I gotta look up his official height, because he looks like Deuce Vaughn out there. He looks like he is 5'3". I gotta see this with my own two eyes. He is short and speedy, but when you're that small, you cannot overcome someone with the strength of an Andrew Mullins-Grant. Second and 11 from the Laurier 54. And Elgersma airmails that one. Two and out for the Gales, keeping these playoff hopes alive. We've got Tayshawn Jackson listed at 5'7". I don't know. Take out the apostrophe, folks. I think that's maybe more accurate. Okay, two and out for the Golden Hawks. The talented Tayshawn Jackson. 5'7", I don't know. If he's 5'7", I've got a full head of hair. Fielded by Ian St. Arnaud inside his 20. And, ooh, very nearly disastrous. The ball bobbled a little bit, but he does hold on to it. However, he will not pick up any yardage at all there. So it'll be first and 10 from the Queen's 20 with less than 3 minutes to go here in our third quarter of action. After an offensive outburst in the second quarter, we have returned to a scoreless stalemate. However, Laurier put up 23 unanswered points to take a commanding lead. They don't need to score for the rest of the game. They can just sit back and protect this lead on their way to protecting this house. First and 10, handoff to Jerick Asari. They need to get him going. He tries to find something on the left-hand side, but he isn't able to do so. And I think the latter half of this season has been a tough one for Kasari. He's had some flashes of brilliance, but I know he's banged up. I know he's hurt. They've been trying to use him sparingly for that reason. Save him for situations like this. He picks up four there, setting up second and 6 from about the 24. And if this is his last game, what a career he's had as a Gale. Sixth on the program regular season rushing list. He's got well over 500 playoff yards and a couple touchdowns on his career. Anthony Leo there, complete to Logan Walton. And Logan Walton should have enough for a first down with forward progress, and he does. And a great story with this team has been the emergence of Logan Walton as a top-tier receiver, first-year guy. I remember him mostly in the regular season, he had some tremendous grabs against Ottawa and that Windsor game. I mean, that's a legacy-defining performance, that 39-yard touchdown catch to get them to this point. Leo, oof, very nearly intercepted there. Second and 10 coming up, but Leo is lucky to get this ball back. Just throwing into triple coverage. Matt Camillo swarmed by Golden Hawk defenders. If he had made that catch, I don't think he was going to make it out of that one unscathed. Ball falls to the turf. Second and 10 from the 34-yard line. Leo dropping back here, stepping up. He is rolling right. He is going to try and pick this up. And, he might be close. Took a bit of a shove there, and with that shove, he will definitely have first down yardage. A brain-neutral play from the Golden Hawks as the referee trying to hold Anthony Leo back. He might be 5'9", but he'll fight you. He's got that Italian stallion spirit like a young Rocky Balboa. He felt the pressure. He kept the ball. He ran it out on the left-hand side. He was well on his way out of bounds, and he took a late, late push there from a Golden Hawks defender. That's the first real kind of questionable play in a game that has largely been quite cordial. But that 15-yard penalty is going to get the Gales into Laurier territory. It'll be first and 10 from the Golden Hawk 50 with less than 2 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Queens needs a touchdown to make this a manageable deficit heading into the fourth. First and 10 from the 50, balanced formation. That's two receivers on each side. Complete over the middle, and that's a good gain there by Matt Camillo. Eerily similar to the play two snaps prior that was thrown into triple coverage. Leo clearly wants to get Camillo activated as he picks up a first down. They have got trips on the right-hand side, Camillo, Falcone, and Quamo. That's kind of your core three there with Logan Walton, number 13, in single coverage on the left-hand side. First and 10, play action. Quick hitter to Logan Walton. Logan Walton takes this one right into the middle of that Laurier defense. He is fearless. Logan Walton with a big grab there. Kind of filling the Nico Quamo type role, that quick little bubble pass. Picks up 8, setting up second and short at the 20-yard line to be exact. Or 25-yard line, sorry. They are 30-yard line. There we go. One day I'll pass grade 5 math. Might not be today. Second and 2 from the Laurier 30. Oh, it's going to be a jet sweep. And we have got to cut that one up. Oh, Nico Quamo with the extension. It's going to be close. But that is going to bring us to the end of our third quarter of action. Thank you once again to our third quarter sponsor, Black Dog Hospitality, for their continued support of Queens Gales Football and CFRC, but also the Thursday morning Indy wake-up call. What could be the fourth and final quarter of the 2024 season coming up shortly here on CFRC 101.9 FM. It's a 26-12 deficit. The Gales trail looking to keep their season going. Can they do it? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
On Saturday, November 30th, the Independent Wrestling Academy, in cooperation with CFRC 101.9 FM, presents IWA Wrestling School of Rock. A portion of the proceeds from this family-friendly professional wrestling event will be donated directly to CFRC's annual funding drive. Tickets are available for $20 and can be bought through iwacanada.ca. The event is scheduled to take place at the Upper Hall of the Spire on 82 Sydenham Street. Doors at 5 p.m., opening bell will be at 5:30. Be sure to check out cfrc.ca and iwacanada.ca for additional event details. We hope to see you there, and we hope you're ready to rock the Spire.
Welcome back. We are in serious territory here. It is third and 2, and the Gales are electing to kick what would be about a 37-yard field goal from Tyler Mullen, trailing by 14. And it looks like that one will go through. So it's a 26-15 ball game. And the Queens defense is going to need to orchestrate a stop here to try and keep these playoff hopes alive. We are going to try and get an update from Western and Guelph for you in just a moment as well. That was a one-score game last I checked. Laurier here with an 11-point lead, 26-15, looking to close out the Gales season. First and 10, we are going to see a pass. That is a completion. And that is a first down. Laomi Ojutaleo, tackled just shy of the 55. Ojutaleo had a very consequential touchdown late in the second quarter. In fact, just seconds before half. Ooh, he took one heck of a hit from Ashton Miller-Melanson there, though. It's like a hockey hip check. Flip-flop fly, first down, 14 minutes to go. Queens trails by 11 points. Algersma has got quads on the right-hand side. Even though it's clock kill time, they've mostly been passing it, but they will hand it off to Tanner Nelms there. And Tanner Nelms will pick up a short gain, tackled up right at the midfield marker. Let's take a look at our out-of-town scoreboard. Laval over Concordia, 41-18. St. Mary's with a narrow lead over St. FX. St. FX, who have been kind of like the Western of the AUS with undefeated seasons and multiple championships, trail by four with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Laurier with a one-yard gain there. It's second and nine from midfield. The Gales need to string together stops and scores. But El Guersma will complete for a first down. However, he has a player who is down. We're hoping that's nothing serious. I want to remind folks that CFRC's funding drive began yesterday. It runs from November 1st to December 31st. Our goal is $25,000, and we are putting that money towards the kind of great local programming you've come to expect from this station. Music, sports, and of course, locally produced news. We have The Corridor on Thursdays, Today in YGK, Monday and Wednesday. We have Campus Beat on Tuesdays and Kingston Currents on Fridays. That's right, you can get your local news fix 5 days a week on CFRC, the only truly local radio station, and the money received from that funding drive helps going towards those kind of local initiatives. You can head over to CFRC.ca and click donate. You can donate through Queen's University if you want your tax receipt, or you can donate directly to CFRC 101.9 FM and get some sweet swag like toques, shirts, stickers, the whole shebang. No amount is too small. All of it counts. All of it is greatly appreciated. If you're feeling generous, please do consider donating. We would really love you for it. It's going to be first and 10 for the Golden Hawks from the Gales 38. We've been in kind of do-or-die territory for this defense for the last quarter and a half. Any further touchdowns from Laurier would likely put this game in an unreachable state. But no matter what, this is an improvement over the last time these two teams played. The Gales lost that game 51-21, a 30-point loss. Right now it's an 11-point deficit. We're going to see a quick throw from El Guersma to Ethan Jordan, and Ethan Jordan is going to pick up a first down, but go out of bounds, which will at least stop the clock momentarily. The Gales, it's been an incredible season, one where they have overcome more adversity in 1 year than some programs experience over the course of several seasons. Injuries, heartbreaking losses, incredible last-minute wins. They have three of them. Two sealed by defensive plays via Justin Pace, a fumble and an interception respectively. And then last week, Russell Weir to Logan Walton, a 39-yard touchdown to keep the season alive and bring them here to University Stadium today. It was actually second and one. However, they will pick up a first down there. So Laval confirmed over Concordia. St. Mary's looks like they are going to succeed against St. FX and advance to play the Bishop Gators. Guelph still trails Western by one score with about 4 minutes left in their game. It's a 27-19 deficit. Laurier leads Queens, of course, 26-15 with less than 12 minutes to go, but they are threatening to put more points on the board here. And Bishops is well on the way to their victory over Acadia. It's 29-0, and they are likely going to ride that game out. And Montreal is up 7-0 over McGill. Regina up 7-0 over Manitoba. Quick pass there from El Guersma. Oh, my goodness! Ethan Jordan absolutely smoked by Dawson Matthews-Reed there. That's the thing. You telegraph that pass too many times. Eventually, DMR is going to lay the lumber. Whew, that is one heck of a clean but emphatic hit on Ethan Jordan, which makes it second and 11 from about the Queens 30-yard line. Even a field goal here would really put the pressure on the Gales. They trail by 11. El Guersma under pressure, and he is going to be brought down by Silas Hubert. So the Queens defense does not surrender a touchdown, but could possibly give up 3 points. And that's a great gesture between those two excellent players. Hubert brings El Guersma down. Very clean, nice wrap tackle. El Guersma gets up and lends Silas Hubert a hand. That's great to see. Tensions can, of course, run high, but I love seeing sportsmanship, late in games especially. Thumbs up there. As Dawson Hodge, he missed one earlier. This is a very makeable distance for Dawson Hodge. This field goal would restore a 14-point lead, a miss could possibly spell disaster with the kind of personnel Queens has on the field. However, I don't think they're going to have to worry as Dawson Hodge makes this a 14-point deficit once more, 29-15. As every drive from here on out could make the difference between winning and losing, heartbreak or elation. And Queens finds themselves in the thick of it. 29-15 with 10 minutes to go in our fourth and possibly final quarter of action. It's all or nothing for these guys. To be honest with you, the fact that they're here at all is nothing short of amazing with everything they've had to overcome this year. But you know this team doesn't want to end here. First and 10 from the 35, handoff to Jarrett Kasari. Ooh, Jarrett Kasari with a nice move there. He is breaking right. He's still up on his feet. Great gain from Jarrett Kasari. Just shy of 20 yards, bringing it to within a shade of the midfield mark. Jarrett Kasari's best run of the day. He's been uncharacteristically quiet. Hasn't had many carries, hasn't produced many yards. And that was a great hole created by that Queens offensive line. Here we go. Let the young fella get hot. Trips on the right-hand side for Anthony Leo. It's going to be first and 10 just shy of the midfield line. Leo under pressure, stepping up, rolling right. Throwing. Oh, my goodness. What a completion to Matt Camillo. Camillo climbs the ladder and hauls in a prayer from Anthony Leo on the run across his body. Wow, wow, wow. Matt Camillo, great job there. Anthony Leo, bit of a slow start, but he has looked sharp for much of the second quarter. And that is the most consequential catch of Matt Camillo's career. First and 10, Leo under pressure, and he goes down, and it's going to be second and very long for the Gaels. After an amazing bit of magic from Anthony Leo, he takes a sack there, and he's going to lose maybe 10 yards. It's going to be a long way to go, and they got a short time to get there, trailing by 14 with 8 minutes and 20 seconds to go. It's going to be second and, well, they say 25, but they're at the 25. Leo skies this one up, but he is unable to connect with Camillo, who's trying to draw a flag, but is unable to do so. And you can't just kick a field goal here. I think you kind of have to go for it. They will kick a field goal and count on their defense to try and orchestrate a stop. I can understand Camillo looking for a flag, but I think that was a really good play by the Laurier defensive back there. Stayed with him. The hand play was, I think, all above board. Didn't do anything stupid like give him an extra shove. Just a really good play from the Laurier defense. Third and 20. This would be a 32-yard kick from Tyler Mullen, who has been excellent so far. And he sends that one through. Tyler Mullen, 5-for-5 in the playoffs this year. He had obviously that outstanding all-Canadian rookie season. Not quite as strong of a season last year, but he is playing really well here this season and throughout the playoffs. He's been arguably the most consistent player for the Gaels in the playoffs. So it's an 11-point deficit once more, 29-18. Queens trying to stay in this ball game, doing everything in their power to try and advance. I am still waiting on updates. The Western game still says 4 minutes and 20 seconds on the clock, and it's been stuck that way for a while, so we might be dealing with an injury there. Elgersma with a jet sweep to Laomi Ojutaleo on first down, and he will pick up a first down. He tried to hurdle Keegan Vanek, but Keegan Vanek didn't take the bait. However, he is going to go down at the midfield mark. Let's see if we have... Yeah, they've still got it listed as a 4-minute game clock in Western and Guelph. So we might actually catch up to them with less than 8 minutes to go here. 11-point lead for Laurier. They will take this first down snap at midfield. They had a turnover on the second offensive play of the game, but since then they have been virtually flawless. Taylor Elgersma will take a timeout here, though. Probably a good call. You don't want to take a delay a game and cede 5 yards to this excellent Queens defense. Our fourth quarter sponsor, Independent Wrestling Academy, and they are running a joint show with us on Saturday, November 30th. Wrestling School of Rock, live from the upper hall of the Spire at 82 Sydenham Street. Doors at 5 p.m. Bell time is 5:30. And a portion of the proceeds from this family-friendly professional wrestling event is going directly to CFRC's annual funding drive. Tickets are available at iwacanada.ca. $20, fair price, great show. We've got 6 matches in the card, 4 of which have been announced, and the other 2, well, you can follow the Independent Wrestling Academy on Facebook to get all the match information, or just head over to iwacanada.ca as we announce them. We throw them up there on the website as well. So that's Saturday, November 30th. Tickets are moving. If you're interested, buy now, folks, because when we hit our limit, we hit our limit. The Queens defense trying to push Taylor Elgersma to his limit. It'll be 1st and 10 from midfield. Multiple men in motion. Handoff up the middle. Tyshawn Jackson. Ooh, that's a great gain. That is going to make it very, very manageable on 2nd down. And I think Queens, they are rapidly running out of time here. They got to make something happen soon, or Laurier can just grind down what little time remains and send the Gales on a very unhappy bus ride back to Kingston. It'll be 1st and 10, giving Jackson just enough with forward progress. And that's somebody the Gales are going to have to deal with next year. Elgersma may or may not be here. I don't think he will be, but Tayshawn Jackson will be. And he's an explosive little runner. Although on that one, he's not going to find much. Elgersma looking kind of angrily towards the sidelines. I'm not sure if he was upset with the call or what. It was a gain of 1, so it's going to be 2nd and 9 from the Queens 45. Huge play coming up here. They need to generate a turnover. They need to shut this play down. They need something to swing the momentum back to their offense as they have less than 6 minutes to try and score twice. They trail by 11. 29-18. Elgersma dropping back to pass. Stepping up. Incomplete. Okay. The Gales are going to force a punt. Elgersma nearly took a sack. Nearly completed that pass. But Queens hanging on. Like Stallone and Cliffhanger, they are still hanging in there. But they have got their work cut out for them. As they are going to field this punt. This would be a great time for an Ian St. Arnaud play. But he's not going to have the chance to do so as this one is punted out of bounds. Actually, I think that was Logan Walton back there receiving that punt. Yes, it was. So here we go. Gales trail by 11. 29-18. 1st and 10 in their own territory. Anything less than a touchdown here will likely spell disaster for their playoff hopes. This has been an eventful day at University Stadium. Started off with some unfortunate injuries. The Gales had an early lead, and Laurier struck back. Their 23 straight points may prove to be too much for this, and you have to say it, mentally formidable Queens team. I cannot believe that they are still in this game with all the adversity they've faced today and across the season. No matter the result today, this is a team that can be very proud of the effort they've put out, missing key players at quarterback, receiver, on the defense. Unbelievable what they've been able to accomplish. The hardest road schedule I've ever seen. At Windsor, at Ottawa, at Western, at Laurier. All four of those teams are playoff teams. Two of them are going to play in the Yates Cup. One of them very well should be the favorite for the Vanier. Hand off to Jared Kasari. Jared Kasari making something happen there. Gain of about 15 on first down, giving the Gales a fresh set of downs. Still trying to get score updates here. No update on the Western and Guelph game, which is quite puzzling. I'm going to see what I can find there. Meanwhile, Anthony Leo will have first and 10 from around the 35. Another handoff to Jared Kasari. This one not quite as successful, but still a good gain up the middle, setting up second and manageable. But the Gales, they've got to get in that turbo offense, and they've got to do it soon. I actually don't disagree with the theory behind how they're calling this. They trust their defense, and they're trying to diversify their offense to make it less telegraphic. Because this Laurier defense, they will hone in if the Gales are too one-dimensional. So I like the idea behind it. I just don't know if they'll have enough time to fully execute. But the reasoning is super solid. Second and 3. Leo passing this one. That is complete. That is a first down for Matt Camillo. And I thought he was holding his leg, but he looks to be okay. At the very least, he's going to jog off the field. That pass was tipped, and Camillo did a great job adjusting to it. I actually don't know if he got... Yes, he did. He got just enough for a first down. So it's first and 10 from just shy of the Queen's 50. Leo dropping back, throwing this one over the middle, and that's another completion. This one to Nico Cuomo. And the Gales, they need to get in gear here. They're on the Laurier side of the field, and they are moving. They have got less than 4 minutes to try and score 11 points. They have a first down from about the Laurier 47. Anthony Leo, after a shaky first half, has really come alive here in the second. And he's going to drop back to pass again. Unfortunately, this one is going to be a little low and fall incomplete, but we did get a pass interference call against the Golden Hawks, drawn by Nico Cuomo. So that'll be another first down for the Gales with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Oh my goodness. I cannot believe the Gales have stayed alive in this game. They are far from putting it away. However, Western will be advancing against Guelph. They're up by 11 with 30 seconds to go. So we know Western will be playing in the Yates. But who they'll tangle with is still yet to be determined. The Gales need a score, need a stop. And then they need another one. In fact, they need a score and a two-point conversion. And then a field goal to tie it up. Two touchdowns would win it. Second and 4 on the Laurier side of the field. That quick hitter, Laurier was all over. They went to the well one time too many, looking for a bubble screen, and the Golden Hawks tackle that one up. So it's going to be second down for the Gales with less than, now officially, there are 3 minutes remaining. I don't know if Queens is going to have enough time to make magic happen here. It's been an incredible kind of comeback. That second quarter, unfortunately, very well could be the one that ends this season because the Gales have been outstanding otherwise. 3 minutes to go, second and 11 from the Laurier 43. If they've got magic, now's the time for it. Leo incomplete, so it's third in the season to go here. Very nearly picked off. Oh, goodness. It all comes down to this, folks. Anthony Leo, looking for Matt Camillo, was unable to connect. And this very well could be the final offensive play for the Queens Gales. Are they... The offense is coming off the field. They're going for a, oh my goodness, a 49-yard field goal from Tyler Mullen. He has been outstanding. However, this is one heck of an ask from Tyler Mullen. The kick is up. Holy cow, he connected! Tyler Mullen, keeping the Gales' slim hopes alive. What a kick. That was outstanding. This guy is quickly becoming the best kicker in Canada. What in the world are they feeding this kid? He's put on 15 pounds of muscle mass, and they needed every ounce of that on that kick. It is a one-score football game. I can't believe it. It is a 29-21 ball game. Unbelievable. You know what? Say what you will. The Gales are at least staying in it. They have got, oh boy, a lot of work to do. But could we see magic one more time? Can the Gales pull off the improbable again? Oh boy. This is an absolutely incredible game. Loria has actually elected to have Queens kick the football off, which I think is an interesting decision, because it's kind of it's a really tough call to make. Do you try and toe the leather out of this ball, or are you looking for an onside? I don't know. Ooh, Tyler Mullen. 6 for 6 in the playoffs. He has been great. He is going to blast this one. Field it down at the 10. Oh, this is a really good return. Laurier might have just put this one away. Tyshawn Jackson takes this one to around midfield. The Gales needed a deep pin there. Oh, boy. The odds are decreasing with every passing second. I don't think Queens is going to have enough time, as Laurier will get first and 10 from around the midfield mark. But if this is how the season ends, you can't say that the Gales didn't put on the performance of a lifetime against this outstanding Laurier offense. A couple first downs could very well end this game and end this season. But what a game it's been for the Gales. In spite of it all, hanging tough to the very end. But they need some kind of miracle to tie this ball game. Hand off to Tanner Nelms. Well, actually, it was an option carry by El Gersma. We'll pick up some good forward progress. 2.5 minutes to go. 8-point ball game. Gales trail 29-21. Second and 8 coming up. Whew. The Gales would have to score and convert a 2-point conversion to tie this ball game and send us into an improbable overtime, but they've got to stop the Golden Hawks here if they want any chance to do so. Trips on the left-hand side. It's going to be a handoff. Justin Pace drags him down, but I think that's enough for a first down. We're going to see. It was a great gain by Tanner Nelms. I'm looking to see what kind of special team, if we're getting a new unit. It was a good gain. Yeah, they're definitely short. Third and the season to go. An improbable stop keeps the Gales alive. A first down pushes them back against the wall. Here we go. El Gersma under center. That is a first down, as the Gales are doing everything in their power to rip that ball loose, but they are unable to do so, and that should be the game. A heroic effort from the Gales. Likely going to end short. As Queens did everything they could. One bad quarter. They were the better team for 3 of 4 quarters, but that second quarter has cost them everything. As Laurier is just going to sit on the football and walk out of here with a massive OUA semifinal victory. What an effort from the Gales. You can't fault the heart that this team has shown. They have done a tremendous job. They're going to use one of their timeouts here. The game isn't officially over, but Ooh, it's not looking good. Western has defeated Guelph. We know they'll play in the Yates. Whether they host or they hit the road will depend on the next 80 seconds of in-game time. St. Mary's beats St. FX in what is, in my opinion, a pretty big upset. They will play Bishops, who are up 38-0 over Acadia. Montreal leads McGill 14-3. Great to see McGill back in the playoffs, one of those historic programs. Regina with an early lead over Manitoba, 10-3. It's 2nd and 7. Queens has called a timeout. If they stop this, especially if they generate any kind of loss of yards, they've got a shot. But Laurier converting that third and short, and they're within field goal range. It's not looking good for the Gaels. The season is just about over, but you cannot deny how hard this team has played today. Algerzen was going to roll out, complete that pass, and that's the ball game. That's a first down. That'll just about do it, folks. A couple of key first downs for the Golden Hawks will consume both Gaels' timeouts. And as long as Laurier doesn't turn the ball over, they are well within field goal range to restore a double-digit lead. The Gaels played their butts off today, folks. They played their hearts out. This loss is not a reflection on the effort. Last year against Western, by the end of that game, they were pretty demoralized. And I say that. I love Queens, obviously. But Western was able to kind of just run the ball in multiple times, untouched for scores, to inflate their lead. Today, Queens is fighting for absolutely every inch. There is no demoralization. These guys are playing their tails off. And it's unfortunate that their season is likely going to come to an end here today. But it's miraculous they made it this far with all the injuries they experienced. What a tremendous team. It sucks that it had to play out like this. They had some horrible early injuries that, I'm just hoping those young men are going to be okay, because they were pretty tough injuries. Raheem Balogun Jr. getting his ankle injured in a pretty grisly way. Ashton Watson sustaining what could be a concussion. 1st and 10. Handoff. Tackled up. But the clock is running away. This Gaels team, I just feel for them. The defense is full of veteran starters. Guys have been making big plays here for the better part of 4 years, and today could be the final game for the likes of Van Wishart, Liam Sutherland, Josh McBain, Eric Johnston, Andrew Mullins-Grant. There's a ton of guys, especially Mullins-Grant, Wishart, Sutherland. We know they're done today. Unless something miraculous happens, their Queens careers are over. And we've got some guys we don't know their status next year. 2nd and 5 inside of the Queens 25. Algerzma on a quarterback draw. Takes the hit, picks up a first down, and that will end the game. And folks, we know it'll be Western and Laurier playing one another next week for the Yates. It'll likely be Montreal and Laval playing for the Dunsmore. It'll be Bishops and St. Mary's playing for the AUS Conference Championship. And for the Gaels, it's better luck next time. A season that was absolutely loaded with promise. A chance to play for the Vanier in front of your home fans. Unfortunately, it will not happen this year. If they want to play for a national title, they've got to try again next year and make that long trip out to Regina. The Gaels fall short. 29-21 in an incredible game during a season where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. This team should not hang their heads. They should be extremely proud of what they've accomplished this season, dealing with injuries, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But they prevailed, and they put the fear of God into these Laurier Golden Hawks and very nearly sent their season crashing down. Queens falls short, 29-21, in a game they didn't lose. They just simply ran out of time. Quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with the Something in the Water post-game show.
Something in the Water Brewing is doing their part to help keep Canada's water clean and accessible. 5 cents from every can purchased is donated to Swim Drink Fish, a nonprofit that has worked tirelessly to connect communities with clean drinking water. To learn more about Something in the Water's commitment, visit somethingbrewing.ca/pages/our story. This is the Something in the Water post-game show live on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And there you have it, folks. An incredible Queen season, one filled with adversity, injuries, heartbreak, has come to an ignominious but admirable end in Kitchener-Waterloo. They played their tails off. They fought to the final seconds against arguably the best team in the country. They started the game with unbelievable injuries to key players, Raheem Balogun Jr., Ashton Watson. But they persevered, they survived, and they put in one heck of an effort before ultimately falling short. An incredible job by these guys. I love this team. They'll be back. In terms of our offensive player of the game, I'll go with Anthony Leo. He had a tough first half. He threw a touchdown, but he didn't look great. But he did a fantastic job in the second half to keep these guys in this game. An unenviable position, coming in mid-season to replace the starting quarterback. And he just kept slinging that thing. He showed so much promise, so much poise. Love that kid. Defensive player of the game, Silas Hubert. Who else could it be? Justin Pace, great idea. Ashton Miller-Melanson, also a very strong game. But I think Hubert, the forced fumble, he's pressuring El Guerzma all day. He would be my pick for defensive player of the game. And the smooth move of the game, oh boy, that Tyler Mullen field goal to keep the dream alive. That 48-yard bomb. That's my smooth move of the game. That was an incredible kick from professional distance. Ah, folks, it breaks my heart. It does. It does. What an incredible season. What an incredible team. They overcame so much. And they never, ever, not once, did they drop their heads. They played to the bitter end. And I am so proud to be able to work with this team. I am so proud to be a Queens football fan. And I am so thankful that you stuck with me today and all season long. It was a tumultuous season for CFRC, tumultuous season for me in my personal life, but you have this Queens team you can rely on. This was an escape for me. This is something I poured so much of my time into. I love what I do. I love this team. Thank you all for listening. And in the words of the late, great Wayne Vermette, a CFRC volunteer we lost this year, he would end every single broadcast by saying, if no one's told you this today, I'll say it. I love you. I love you all, folks. Thank you for the support of this station. Thank you for the support of this team. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hello, CFRC listeners. This is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members.